Greetings, and welcome to Lecture 17. We are getting towards the end of this course. This is the second-to-last lecture on a course chapter, and then there will be a final review lecture. So far, we have covered how to make a simple Windows application. Then we learned about menus, and how to draw shapes and bitmaps on a Windows client area using the GDI functions. And last time, we took a look at how to create modal and modeless dialog boxes. We have pretty much covered all the Win32 API programming you will need to succeed in later Game Institute courses. Moreover, we have enough at our disposal to begin working on a simple 2D Win32 game. However, so that we can focus purely on the game in the next lecture, we are going to use this lecture as a stepping stone and introduce timing, animation, and sprite concepts. These topics will form the backbone of our game's graphics and animation in the next chapter. Box A, Chapter 17 Goals. Goal 1. To learn how to use the Windows Multimedia Timer functions so that we can keep track of how much time has elapsed per frame for smooth and consistent animation. Goal 2. To discover how to do basic 2D computer animation by moving graphical objects over small increments as time passes. Goal 3. To understand the technique of double buffering and how it works to avoid flicker. Goal 4. To learn how to draw complex 2D image bitmaps, which are not rectangular, via sprites using the GDI raster operations. Box B. Time get time. One timing function that we can use is the time get time function. This function returns the number of milliseconds that has elapsed since Windows started. To use this function, you will need to include the mmsystem.h header file and link the winmm.lib. Now, often we will want the time in seconds and not in milliseconds. Because there is 1 second for every 1,000 milliseconds, we can convert a time t in milliseconds to a time t prime in seconds by multiplying the time in milliseconds by the ratio 1 second over 1,000 milliseconds. Basically, we are just multiplying by 1, so we aren't really changing anything. That is, 1 second is the same as 1,000 milliseconds. But by multiplying by this ratio, the millisecond units cancel, leaving us with the quantity expressed in seconds. Recall that time get time returns the number of milliseconds that has elapsed since Windows started. This number in and of itself is not particularly interesting. What is interesting is that if we call this function once at time t0, and then again at a later time, t1, we can compute the time difference between t0 and t1 as delta t equals t1 minus t0. So this gives us the time elapsed between two successive calls to time get time. This will be useful because we will want to know how much time has expired between every cycle of our message loop, so that we can accurately update our animations with respect to how much time has passed. Box C. Linking winmm.lib. To link winmm.lib in vc++.net, go to the Solution Explorer, right-click on your project name and select Properties from the pop-up menu. On the Property Pages dialog, select Linker, Input. Next, enter in winmm.lib in the Additional Dependencies field, as the figure in Box C shows. Finally, press the Apply button, and then the OK button. Box D, Performance Counter. For really short time intervals, the time get time function will not be accurate enough, and it will give a bad timing reading. An example of a short time interval is the time it takes between message loop cycles. So instead of using time get time, you should use the performance counter. The performance counter works in units of counts, which is some unit of measurement. It doesn't really matter what the unit is, so long as we can convert it to seconds. The query performance frequency function provides such a way. This function returns, through its parameter, the number of counts which equal 1 second. So now we have a ratio which enables us to convert from count units to seconds. To get the current count value, you use the query performance counter function. This function returns the current value of the timer in counts. Notice that we are working with a special 64-bit integer type, which is not standard C++. But we are doing Windows programming here, so our code would not be portable anyway. Now that we have a time value in counts, we need to convert it to seconds. We do this by dividing the time value by the counts per second. This computation is analogous to how we converted milliseconds to seconds. As with time, the time given by the performance timer is not meaningful by itself. You need to take time differences to figure out how much time has elapsed.